And welcome back inside the home office, and welcome back to week number 9, the season finale of NEC Women's Basketball on the Run. I'm Craig D'Amico. The road to the 2025 NEC Women's Basketball Championship has finally reached March. Only one more regular season game day coming up on Thursday night for every team except Chicago State, whose regular season is already complete. But one more game day to decide the seedings and pairings in this year's NEC Women's Basketball Tournament, which begins on Monday, March the 10th. Coming up on the show, we will see how the key games from the penultimate regular season weekend played out and how it affected the standings. We'll have our final top three stars of the week. We'll look at the potential stars of the season and talk about the 2025 Women's Basketball Awards. We'll have one final check on the playoff picture with all of your tiebreaker scenarios, and we will preview the final four games of the NEC Women's Basketball regular season. Plus, we'll welcome in a special guest this week from the Lemoyne Dolphins, grad student Hayden Roberts. All that and more straight ahead, but first, we begin with the top headlines in this week's three-point shot. And let's start with three games from this past week, which had the biggest impact on the playoff picture during the penultimate weekend. Up first from last Thursday, it was Lemoyne and Central Connecticut. Now, a Central Connecticut State win in this matchup against the Dolphins would have clinched a top four seed and a Central first round home playoff game, which would have been their first since 2015. But a Central loss would keep Lemoyne alive as the Dolphins try to sneak into the top four and get a first round home playoff game for a second straight season. Now, in this game, the Dolphins shot 50% from behind the arc. When we say 50%, we're not just talking about like 1 for 2 or 2 for 4. They went 10 for 20 from downtown. Lemoyne would go on to win it 75-64. A great shooting day for the Dolphins, kept them alive for a top four spot for at least one more game. And that brings us to key game number 2 from this past weekend, and that was on Saturday. Central Connecticut back at home, coming in following that Lemoyne loss, trying to right the ship against the Wagner Seahawks. And it was senior day for Central, so a lot of great emotion in Dietrich Gym as Amaya Williams, Megan Kennefic, and Belle Lamfer were all honored in a special pregame ceremony. Belle Lamfer's friends and family took up pretty much an entire section. No cap. I'm serious. The Lamfer section was at least 20 members strong. And behind all that great support, Megan Kennefic hit a big three right at the halftime buzzer to put Central up 40-39 going into the break. And then in the second half, Central stormed ahead with a 15-0 run, forcing 10 straight Wagner misses during that stretch. Central would go on to win it 76-65. They bounce back from their loss to Lemoyne on Thursday. They beat Wagner on Saturday, and then they officially clinched a top four seed in the NEC standings. Now, the third game of the week, the third key game of this past week, was out in the Windy City, the final game of the regular season for Chicago State, as they welcomed in the St. Francis Red Flash for the very first time. The Cougars led by 10 points in the fourth quarter, but the Red Flash finished strong behind Natalie Johnson, who scored 10 of St. Francis's 14 fourth quarter points, including a Natalie Johnson game-tying jumper with 10 seconds to spare to send the game into overtime, knotted up at 50. And then in the bonus session, Casey Urlacher got the festivities started with a three ball for the Cougars. And then with a minute 40 left in Central and St. Francis ahead 55-53, Ayanna Culver rattled in a big time three ball to put the Cougars up for good. Chicago State goes on to win it in overtime 58-55. Great way for the Cougars to finish their inaugural NEC regular season. They are now off for 9 days in between that finale against St. Francis and their first NEC tournament game, which will be on the road Monday, March the 10th. And how about for the Cougars? They got the most out of their minutes playing NEC basketball this year. They had 6 overtime games. And by the way, 12 of their 16 conference games were decided by 6 points or less, 2 possessions or less, including giving FDU their 2 closest games of the season. So pretty admirable inaugural campaign for the Cougars. They finished the regular season 6-10 in the NEC. Where they finish in the standings, that remains to be seen. So let's take one last look at the NEC standings and get you updated on the NEC playoff picture. The FDU Knights, we know last week, clinched the regular season championship. They have a program record now, 25 overall wins. They finished a perfect 14-0 at home during the regular season. And after two wins this past week, they are 15-0 in NEC play and have won 18 straight overall. And as of Monday, only Grand Canyon, Florida Gulf Coast, Green Bay, and James Madison have longer win streaks than the Knights. FDU just one win shy of becoming the seventh team to run the table with a perfect Northeast Conference regular season record. The first team since the 2013 Gold Rush Quinnipiac Bobcats, and they would be the first team to have a perfect conference regular season record in a 16-game conference season since the 1987 and 1988 Monmouth Hawks. Now, it should be noted, the 87 Hawks, they did go 16-0, and they went on to win the NEC championship, the very first NEC tournament championship. But the 88 Hawks, they went 16-0 in the regular season, and they lost in the tournament championship game. Those 88 Hawks, the only team out of the previous six that have accomplished a perfect regular season, but did not go on to win the NEC tournament. That's the 87 Monmouth Hawks, 94 Mount St. Mary's, 04 St. Francis, 09 Sacred Heart, and 2013 Quinnipiac. All those teams went a perfect regular season, ran the table, and then ended up cutting down the nets once the NEC tournament was all said and done. So history still awaits FDU. We'll have to keep our eyes on that going forward. But right behind FDU in second place is Stonehill. They are 10-5. Central, one game behind them at 9-6. But Central Connecticut has the head-to-head tiebreaker over Stonehill, having swept them in two meetings during the regular season. So despite Central being the last team to clinch a top four seed, they have perhaps the upper hand to get into the two spot if Stonehill slips up in their regular season finale. More on that in a second. St. Francis, with that overtime loss to Chicago State, they dropped now two in a row since clinching a first-round home playoff game last week. The February swoon has made its way into March. The Red Flash are 8-7 and are in fourth place. Mercyhurst and Lemoyne, both two games out of the top four. Mercyhurst ineligible for this year's NEC tournament, so it's Lemoyne sitting in as the fifth seed. Chicago State wrap things up in the regular season. They're 6-10, currently sitting at 6. They now don't play for 9 days until the NEC tournament begins. Wagner is in 7th, a half game behind the Cougars at 5-10, and LIU sits in the 8th seed position at 3-12. So let's check the playoff picture. FDU, the number one seed, they'll have home court for as long as they're playing in March. Stonehill Central battling over the 2 and 3 seeds. Stonehill, they can clinch the number two seed with a win or a Central Connecticut State loss. Now, Central, because of that head-to-head tiebreaker with Stonehill that we mentioned earlier, they can still clinch the two seed with a win and a Stonehill loss. St. Francis, they're in the top four, but they're locked in at number four. They can't go up. They can't go down. They will be the number four seed. Now, Lemoyne, they are most likely going to be the five seed. They can clinch that with a win or a Wagner loss. A Wagner loss would also set Chicago State as the sixth seed. Otherwise, the Cougars will be at 7. Remember, the Cougars off on Thursday, so they'll just have to sit and watch all this play out. Wagner, they can jump up to as high as the fifth seed with a win and a Lemoyne loss. In that scenario, Lemoyne would be the 6, Chicago State would be the 7. LIU, they are locked in. They will be the 8 seed. And with that, we already know one playoff matchup is already set. FDU locked in as the number 1, LIU locked in as the number 8, so it will be LIU and FDU in the quarterfinal round, Monday, March 10th at the Pagoda Savings Bank Center, one of your four quarterfinal matchups. St. Francis, we know they'll play either Lemoyne or Wagner up in Loretto, and Stonehill and Central will also host quarterfinal games. Their opponents will be Lemoyne, Chicago State, or Wagner. So we will wait and see how things shape up in the final regular season. We will preview those final four games coming up at the end of the show. But first, let's take a look at our third and final story to get things started. It is award season, and the 2025 NEC Women's Basketball Awards will be announced coming up prior to the start of the quarterfinal round, which begins on Monday, March 10th. The NEC announced some changes to the Women's Basketball Awards this year, which were put in place by coaches and administration prior to the start of the year. The big awards still remain in place. Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, Most Improved, and the Defensive Player of the Year. But a new award has been added this year in the Newcomer of the Year. This will go to a player that is new to their school's roster and has played for another school previously, which is different from Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year is a player who has no prior college playing experience at any level. The Newcomer of the Year is a new player to their team, but did have prior playing experience at some other division or some other school in college basketball. So some examples of a player who might be nominated or eligible this year for the Newcomer of the Year award would be Kylie Swider from Villanova to Stonehill, Survivor Legions from Southern to LIU, Natalie Johnson from Robert Morris to St. Francis. So those are some of the types of players that potentially could get recognized with this inaugural Newcomer Player of the Year award. There will also be this year 2 6-player all-conference teams as opposed to 3 5-player teams as there has been in the past. Now, you would expect players who have won multiple Player of the Week awards this year and who are among the league leaders in several statistical categories to show up somewhere in those 2 6-player all-conference teams. Tanisha Brown, Belle Lamford, Kylie Swider, even the rookie Ava Renninger, Bailey Coons, new to the league as well this year with Mercyhurst. Those players high up in several statistical categories, multiple conference player of the week. So you think they would be somewhere among the top 12 players in the league. We will see what the coaches come up with when they vote. But also new this year, there will be a 5-player all defensive team announced. And I have to tell you, I really like this, because as we've talked about in the show in previous years, defense is such a subjective thing, which is why for me, the Defensive Player of the Year award is the toughest one to pick. Because what are you looking at? Are you looking at rebounds, steals, blocks, on-ball defense, off-ball defense, taking charges, which there's no real official stat for? Are you looking at game tape? Like, what are you looking at to crown a Defensive Player of the Year? It can be so subjective. I remember polling a bunch of NEC coaches about this a few years ago and asking them, what do you look at for Defensive Player of the Year? And I got a wide variety of answers as to what they look for when they vote. So picking one player for defense, that could be very tough to do because everybody looks at different things. But with an all-defensive team, that's a way that potentially you could recognize multiple areas of great defense. Players like, you know, Tanisha Brown, Kylie Swider, who are great, you know, rebounders. Josie Hill, who's great with blocking. How about, you know, Belle Lamford, Sharn Hayward, who draw a lot of charges. Even Kanna Foz, who's a freshman from Wagner, who's far and away leading the league in steals. Probably wouldn't be in Defensive Player of the Year consideration if we're picking just one person. But now that we're looking at 5 great defenders, a wide variety of defensive styles, perhaps she could get in there and get some recognition with this brand new all-defensive team. Looking forward to seeing how it all plays out when the coaches tally their votes and the results are announced coming up prior to the NEC quarterfinal round. Time now for my top 3 stars from week 9, the penultimate week of NEC action. But first, here are the honorable mentions. We'll go with Abigail Babori from FDU, who flirted with a triple-double against Stonehill. 15 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists as well. And then she followed that up with a 16-point performance, 4 rebounds, 4 assists against LIU. We also have a pair of Blue Devils in our honorable mention category. First, grad student guard Belle Lamford, who had 24 points, 6 rebounds against Lemoyne, and then 17 points, 6 assists against Wagner. She's averaging 23 points per game in NEC play. But we also want to give an honorable mention shout out to freshman guard Dagny Slomack, who had 18 points, went 3 for 4 from behind the arc against Lemoyne, and then had 16 points, went 4 for 6 from behind the arc against Wagner. Slomack is averaging 17 points and shooting 73% from behind the arc over the last 3 games for Central Connecticut. But now let's get to our number 3 star. It's Ayanna Culver, the freshman guard from Chicago State. The freshman had a pair of clutch performances this week as the Windy City Warriors, known as the Chicago State Cougars, won back-to-back outings against Mercyhurst and St. Francis. Against the Lakers, Culver finished with 16 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, but perhaps she was the most effective as part of a 26-point third quarter that put the game out of reach where she didn't have a single point. She had 3 assists, a pair of steals. She was helping out in all areas in that one. And then against St. Francis, she had 17 points with 5 three balls, including the game-winning three-pointer with a minute 42 remaining in overtime that put the Cougars up for good. Ayanna Culver, our number 3 star of the week. Our second star is grad student forward Aiden Roberts from the Lemoyne Dolphins. Roberts recorded 20 points and 4 rebounds against Central Connecticut and then added 27 points with 6 rebounds against Stonehill. And for Roberts, it was her 4th and 5th 20-point performances of the season. Against the Blue Devils, she casually drained a half-court prayer at the third quarter buzzer. And against the Skyhawks, she had 27 points, which set a new career high. And Roberts now enters the final game of the regular season with 983 career points. She is just 17 points shy of reaching 1,000. But our number one star of the penultimate week of the NEC regular season, Denicia Brown, the grad student forward from FDU. Brown recorded, you never believe this, 2 more double-doubles last week, bringing her total now up to 8 in a row. She had 15 points, 10 rebounds against Stonehill, and then 17 and 15 on Saturday against LIU. And what was impressive about that, not just the 17 points, 15 rebounds, but the fact that the game was so far out of hand, she only played 3 quarters of the game, fewer minutes than she usually would. So she still put up those big numbers despite not playing the majority of the minutes that she normally would. Since February the 1st, Brown is averaging 15.1 points, 12.2 rebounds per game, certainly finishing strong. Denicia Brown, our number one star from week 9 in the Northeast Conference. Now, no doubt it was a rough start for Lemoyne this year, going 0-16 to start the season before their first victory in mid-January against LIU. But it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And the Dolphins have won 2 of their last 3. They're hoping to make another run back to the championship game in this year's NEC tournament. Lemoyne also is in a unique spot in history right now as they stand in the way of FDU completing a perfect season. They hope to be the one in 15-1 and deny FDU history. Lemoyne, their grad student Hayden Roberts, as we just mentioned, our number 2 star from this past week. She is 17 points shy of joining the 1,000 point club, and she stops by as this week's guest in our Commitment to Success Spotlight. Up next here on NEC Women's Basketball on the Run, it is time for our Commitment to Success Spotlight, brought to you by Provident Bank. Provident Bank, commitment you can count on. Joining us today from the Lemoyne Dolphins, grad student forward Hayden Roberts. Hayden, welcome to the spotlight.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you joined us at Media Day back at the start of the season, and now you're back with us here as we go into the final week of the season. So catch us up to date with the in-between. What has this season kind of been like? What stands out as some of the ups and downs that the Dolphins have gone through?
Yeah, I mean, starting from the beginning, our non-conference was pretty tough, but I think it's kind of prepared us for our experiences in the conference. You know, we've had some really good wins. We've had a lot of lessons learned throughout the season. And I think right now our team is really starting to come together and play some really good basketball.
Now, you mentioned the rough start, you know, 0-3 in conference play. The first win was the overtime win against Chicago State. You had a double-double, 5 threes in that game, and that kind of springboarded the team. You won 4 out of, I think, 6 right after that. So was that game kind of the turning point, or is there another moment that kind of stands out as the turning point to get things back on track?
Yeah, I think so. I think once we got our first win in conference, we started to believe a little bit more, and the confidence started to come with that belief as well. And just being able to string some wins together throughout the conference has been really nice.
Now, you know, for you, you're at right now 983 career points, I believe. And I know, like in baseball, they say if you go up trying to hit a home run, you're not going to hit a home run. So going into this final game you have coming up, you can't think 17 points, right? You just have to go out there and play.
Yeah, I think subconsciously it's probably in the back of my mind, but overall I'm just trying to go out and be with my teammates and play hard with them and overall get the win. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, that'll be okay too. The biggest focus is obviously just getting the win.
Now, you've certainly made quite the impact for your program, you know, top 20 scorer, probably 1,000 point scorer, top 10 in rebounding as well. How special is it for you to you know, come to Lemoyne, but not just play, but just to, you know, make a lasting impact on the program?
It's been really great. I think when I first came here, when I was a freshman, I didn't really have many expectations for what my career was going to look like. And I think this has been a pleasant surprise and a really great ending for me to end my career and leave a legacy here.
Well, let's kind of go back to the beginning. So with your basketball journey, how was it? When was it that you kind of fell in love with the game of basketball and you knew that, you know, this was your path? This was your game.
Yeah, so I started playing basketball fairly later. I started playing when I was 13. And then I think by the time I got to be around a sophomore in or a sophomore in high school, about 14, 15, I started realizing that this was something that I wanted to do long term and take into my college career. And so just playing AAU and going through those channels was really nice. And then obviously being able to come to Lemoyne and stay here for 5 years has been really special.
How did you find your way to Lemoyne?
I had gotten an email from the head coach at the time, Gina Castelli, and I'd come out here and done a visit with her, and I just immediately fell in love with the school, the culture, everything that Lemoyne was about. And I knew as soon as I got done with my visit that this is definitely where I was going to end up.
Now, so you've been with three different head coaches. So how have you kind of seen things kind of progress during all your years here with the Dolphins?
Yeah, it's been a lot. I've definitely adapted to different coaching styles and dealt with some adversity throughout the years, just as it does with head coaching changes. But I've seen Lemoyne grow as a school. Obviously, the transition from Division II to Division I has been really nice, and just being able to be a part of that process in helping Lemoyne make that transition.
Now, for you, it seems like, you know, the three-point shot has been increasingly more and more added to as a part of your game. We're seeing you now hit them from half court. What has that process been like, kind of, you know, adding that to your repertoire?
Yeah, I think over the summer I talked with Coach Nick, and we both agreed that we kind of wanted to add that into my game a little bit more. I know last year it was there a little bit, but not as much as this year, and that was definitely something we agreed on that was going to expand my game. And so just working on that over the summer and making sure that I was confident enough in taking those shots.
Now, looking ahead to the postseason, you know, Lemoyne had quite the great run last year in their initial postseason in the Northeast Conference. St. Francis is the most likely first-round opponent, but could still play Stonehill and Central, their possible opponents as well. So with that experience that you and those returning players had from last year, how valuable do you think that will be going into this March?
I think it'll be huge. We know what the stakes are. If once you get to the playoffs, if you lose, your season's done, you're going home. And so I think we're just used to being able to play with that pressure and just knowing that when it comes to playoffs, anything can really happen. No one's guaranteed to win. And so just being able to go out there and put 100% effort forward in hopes of expanding your season is what's most important. And I think our returners understand that, and even our new people, our first years, our transfers, they understand the enormity of that idea as well.
Now let's talk about this regular season finale, because it's not just any finale. I don't know if you know, but FDU's undefeated and they're one win shy of becoming the seventh NEC team to run the table in the regular season, standing in their way the Lemoyne Dolphins, though. So the six other teams are kind of looking at you like, we don't want another team to join us, so we're rooting for the Dolphins here. So what does the Dolphins need to do to kind of stand in the way of history and get this win, something no one else has been able to do this year against FDU?
I think our biggest thing is just playing hard. We know how we want to play. We know our potential and what we're capable of. And I think just sticking to our game plan and not doing anything outside of our normal characteristics is what's going to help us. And I think our team has been doing a really good job of that lately.
Lemoyne looking to be the 1-15-1. We'll see in that finale on Thursday night. But we have, Hayden, the final five questions for you. These are rapid fire, so just throw out the first thing that comes to mind, all right?
Okay.
All right, favorite color?
Ironically, green.
Okay, it's perfect fit.
Yep.
Favorite movie or show that you would like to watch on long road trips?
Oh, I've been into the most recent Twisters recently.
Okay, all right, good choice. Favorite snack or junk food?
Oh, probably anything like candy, something like that.
Okay. In your college career, what stands out as the best game or best moment that you've had?
I would definitely say our postseason run last year. That was the best moment.
Okay. And if we took a survey of all your teammates and asked them a trait or an adjective to describe you, what word or phrase do you think they would come up with?
I would say maybe like responsible. I know Graham was kind of thrown out there a little bit, being the fifth year.
Okay, we'll take that. Hayden, thank you so much for joining us, and it's great to be watching you all season, and best of luck to you and the Dolphins on Thursday and in the postseason.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You can catch Hayden and the Dolphins in that regular season finale on Thursday, 6 p.m. against FDU on NEC Front Row, and then they'll be back to the playoffs in the NEC tournament, beginning with the quarterfinals on Monday, March the 10th. You can check out this full episode of the NEC Women's Basketball On the Run podcast. It's available now wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been the Commitment to Success Spotlight, brought to you by Provident Bank. Commitment you can count on. Big thanks to Hayden Roberts for joining us. Big game on Thursday night as she's playing for history and her 1,000th point. The Dolphins playing for a number 5 seed. The Knights going for a perfect conference season. So a lot going on in that one. But right now, let's take a glance at all four of the final four games of the NEC regular season. Here's what is coming up Thursday night, our final NEC regular season game day on tap. We begin at 6 p.m. St. Francis at Mercyhurst. Neither team can improve their spot in the standings in this one. St. Francis, they're locked into the number 4 seed, and Mercyhurst, they are ineligible for the NEC tournament. This is their 2025 finale, but still a lot to play for here. After a 5-3 start to the NEC season, St. Francis only 3-4 since the beginning of February. They've dropped 4 of their last 5. And the one win during that 5-game stretch was their first meeting against their new interstate rivals, the Mercyhurst Lakers. That was back on February the 20th, and they won it by the slimmest of margins, 70-69. Natalie Johnson had the game-winning bucket for St. Francis from underneath with just tenths of a second remaining while walking the tightrope of the baseline to stay in bounds. Meanwhile, Coach Cole Heim for Mercyhurst has called this season a big learning curve season for the Lakers, their first go-around in the NEC. Since February 1st, the Lakers have dropped 5 out of 7, including their last 3 in a row. And after an 18-win season last year, the Lakers knew there would be no NEC tournament. So talking with them earlier in the year, they told us, you know, Bailey Coons, Coach Cole Heim both said, you know, finishing strong, that is our postseason, giving us some momentum. That is our goal, that is our finish line going into the offseason on a positive note. So beating a rival, finishing with 10 wins on the season, double figures, finishing 7-9 in conference play, close to a 500 finish, a top 5 finish in the standings. You think that would give the Lakers a warm feeling and the positive momentum that they need going into the offseason. Wouldn't be bad for a team that was picked last in the preseason poll. So although neither team can improve themselves in the standings, lot to play for in this Keystone State rivalry, St. Francis at Mercyhurst, 6 p.m. on Thursday night. Then we go to a pair of 7 o'clock games. Central Connecticut at LIU. LIU, we know, is locked in at the number 8. Central needs to win and get a Stonehill loss to clinch a number 2 seed. Otherwise, Central would be the number 3 seed. Central beat the Sharks 52-48 in New Britain way back in the season on January the 9th. Central, much different team this time around, so we'll see what happens here in the rematch. Also going on simultaneously in Staten Island, Stonehill at Wagner. Stonehill needs to win to clinch the number 2 seed. If they lose, that opens the door for Central to get to the 2 with a win. Now, Stonehill can still get the number 2 seed if both they and Central lose, but they're not thinking that way. They want to go into the postseason as the number 2 seed with a victory. Wagner, they need to win this game to keep alive their chance of getting as high as number 5. Stonehill did beat Wagner 77-64 back on February the 20th. But our feature game, FDU at Lemoyne, 6 p.m., NEC Front Row. FDU is playing for history, the perfect season. Lemoyne, led by FDU alum Nick DiPillo. FDU back in Syracuse, where their season ended last year in the semifinals after getting swept in all 3 meetings against Lemoyne a year ago. Will their quest for history end in Syracuse this year? We will see. FDU did win 65-46 in New Jersey just a couple weeks ago, back on February the 20th. FDU had key performances in that game from Tanisha Brown and Ava Renninger. Lemoyne, though, they need to win to clinch a 5 seed and a first-round chip to St. Francis. And by the way, as we mentioned with Hayden Roberts, if Lemoyne wins, you got to figure that would make the 6 other perfect NEC teams in history pretty happy. That'd be like the 72 Miami Dolphins having that champagne toast every time the last undefeated NFL team loses their game. The Dolphins, they want the history for themselves. They want to be known as the last team or one of the only teams that have a perfect record. Well, same thing for those other six perfect teams. They don't want to share the spotlight. So if FDU goes down, you got to think that the 04 Red Flash, the 94 Mount St. Mary's, all those teams, they'd be having a champagne toast in their own right, and they'll all be Dolphins fans coming up on Thursday, or at least that's what we'll tell ourselves, because it makes for a great storyline. FDU planning to try and join those six other teams. Lemoyne trying to, make those six other teams happy. The 2013 Quinnipiac Bobcats, they would still be the last NEC team to run the table with the perfect conference season. The 87 Monmouth Hawks would be the last team to do it in the 16-game schedule and then go on to win the NEC tournament. So a lot of storylines, a lot of history. Hayden Roberts playing for 1,000 points as well. Throw that in there. It's FDU Lemoyne. What a great way to finish the season, 6 p.m. from Syracuse on NEC Front Row. Be sure to follow us, fans, at NEC Sports and at NortheastConference.org for full NEC women's basketball postseason coverage. The announcement of the award winners and the brand new all-conference teams, that's coming up prior to the quarterfinals. And be sure to join us at the NEC Women's Basketball Championship game on Sunday, March the 16th. We will have pregame, during the game audio, and postgame coverage. So be sure to check in for that. And again, we thank you for stopping by and joining us all season long and following along the road to the 2025 NEC Women's Basketball Championship. Until next time, I'm Craig D'Amico, and this has been NEC Women's Basketball on the Run.